from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Hello. Say hello to each other in the Lord. Welcome each other. We begin our third Sunday of Advent, and we start to light the candles to recognize that. So the first candle is the prophecy candle, reminding us that God rules even time. The Bethlehem candle, which is the second candle, reminds us that God intersected history, came here in time. And then there's the joy of the shepherds as the angels announced the good news. All these are important things to remember as we go through Advent. We begin our worship with our first hymn, The Advent of Our King, hymn 309, The Advent of Our King.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Tim Kuske will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Join us now in singing hymn number 309. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should.
I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak together Kyrie. Oops, it's not even on the screen today. I guess we're skipping it. We're going to Holy is Your Name. Holy is Your Name. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Hear our prayers, Lord Jesus Christ, and come with the good news of your mighty deliverance. Drive the darkness from our hearts and fill us with your light. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Confident joy. That is what our God has always given us in his prophecies and in his presence. And we see that especially in our readings today. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 prophesies the time when Christ would be with us. Sing out, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart. You daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned back your enemy. Israel's king, the Lord, is in your midst. You no longer need to fear disaster. In that day, Jerusalem will be told, do not be afraid, O Zion, do not give up. The Lord your God is with you as a hero who will save you. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with Psalm 130. It is 130b, so you find that in your Psalter on page 703 if you'd like to follow the music. Psalm 130b in our Psalter.
Amen. in Christ Jesus. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel acclamation. John the Baptist certainly enjoyed preaching to the crowd, and he brought the good news to the people. We read from Luke chapter 3. So John kept saying to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, "You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not even think of saying to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' because I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe is ready to strike at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds began to ask him, "What should we do then?" He answered them, "Whoever has two shirts should share it with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. They said, "Teacher, what should we do?" To them he said, "Collect no more than what you were authorized to do." Soldiers who were also asking him, "What should we do?" He told them, "Do not extort money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then with many other words, he appealed to them and was preaching good news to the people. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated and we'll sing our next hymn, "O Jesus, Grant Me Hope and Comfort."
Join us in singing hymn number 326, hymn 326.
Behold, I am coming soon, says Jesus. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. Dear people destined for, through faith, the tree of life. Suffering seems to be a strange source for joy, and yet that's exactly where Paul is in his present predicament. He is in prison in Rome, and yet the whole letter he wrote here is filled with the word joy in one way, shape, or another. On every page, he talks about the joy that he has. He's not sure if he's going to live or die, and yet for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's probably not the way the people in Philippi had looked at it. If you remember, Paul had been in prison even in Philippi, and there he converted a former Roman soldier. And that's not surprising, because Philippi, as a town anyway, was a city that was established by the Romans for their legions. And in order to pacify certain areas of the empire, they would bring all kinds of retired soldiers to cities. Well, Philippi was one of those. And so there were probably other Roman soldiers in that congregation who had been connected to Paul. And now, the government that they've been so faithful to, that they put their life on the line for, was about to kill him. Wow. How conflicted they must have been. And of course, the old training might have just, kicked in. They must have been truly tempted to, have an organized resistance. And certainly as a Roman soldier, they would be organized. But Paul had a different teaching for them. And that's what we just read. Let me read just a couple of verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul truly taught these soldiers, filled with guilt perhaps because of seeing people die at their sword, he taught them joy. Joy in life, and joy for eternity. Here, he knew that in heaven his life would be, well, far better. Oh, certainly you can fight the legal ramifications, you can fight the legal battle about injustice on earth, and free Paul on that basis. But we also remember that God committed the greatest injustice when he sent Christ Jesus to the cross on our behalf to pay for our sins. And how might it be any different for one of those who preaches for Christ? But in the end, Paul saw right through the difficulties and the problems and the tragedies here on earth. And he reminded us to rejoice this Advent. Rejoice with the Philippians, who still had the power of prayer. Rejoice with Paul, who was at peace in repentance. Here, Paul is talking to men of action, lots of Roman soldiers, and we have that idea of those tough guys out in the field enduring all kinds of nasty things. And, here he says, guess what? Here's your action. Gentleness is what he says in the first verse. Let your gentleness be evident to all. If there's one thing that I don't think of when I think of soldiers, it's gentleness. Right? What was it that someone said not that long ago? The job of a soldier is to kill people and destroy things. That doesn't sound real gentle to me. Right? And yet that's what he talks, what he says to these retired soldiers. He wants them to be truly active in gentleness and in love. He wants them to put on themselves sweetness, tolerance, kindness, even to those who were going after Paul. He didn't want them to go back to the wrath and the violence that brought them guilt, that brought them difficulty in their lives, gloom and depression. He didn't want to have them participate in the wickedness of war anymore. So he reminds them to rejoice. And he gives them a very good reason to be active in that gentleness. He says, take a look at this. You know, no matter what happens to me, the Lord is near, he says. The Lord does bring justice. And even though he committed that great injustice on Christ on our behalf, yet he does bring justice, and he wants there to be justice. And he fulfilled that justice in Christ by making sure all our sins were paid for. And so no matter what happens to Paul, if it is a great injustice, our Lord is near. We don't have to worry about Paul. Paul knows that the Lord is near. Paul knows that the Lord will take him home. Paul knows that he has the greatest peace of all. He is ready for the Lord. So don't resort to that violence that might come into your heart, that temptation. Instead, be as gentle as possible with holiness and rejoicing. And he says, guess what? Because the Lord is near, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here the soldiers are told to get down on your knees and pray. Pray, certainly, for me while I am in captivity, as Paul says. Pray for me if you want to see me again, and yet I don't know if that'll happen. Pray, the Lord will listen. Don't be afraid to ask for the impossible. How many times have I needed to say that to people who are going into the hospital? Because he knows the answers and he has the power to deal with it. Pray together with one another in unity and in joy. And now that brings up a rather interesting thing, that in the verses just before this text, there was one thing that was bringing Paul down in Philippi. There were a couple of his co-workers, a couple of members who were fighting and bringing great strife and disunity to the congregation. So it would be awful hard for them to pray united and together, but that's exactly why he wrote this very section. To guide those who were caught up in, oh, probably a very serious matter, but nonetheless, it's time to be the bigger person. It's time to apologize. It's time to give up your way or the highway and work together with your fellow Christians. How often Satan uses that to terrorize and hurt God's people. How often he uses it, setting one against another, bringing up the pride of one so that they get mad at another. And then the church often loses two instead of just one. Isn't that sad? Can't we get together and talk about it and pray to God to bring us peace? Look what he says. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. Do you think the government was being unjust? Well, Paul, then bring it before the Lord. Do you think that person over there who remains mad at me is less of a Christian than you? Well, it's time for you to take a look at yourself, to understand that we are all sinners and we're all here for the same reason. Let us present our requests to God. Lord, bring us to peace. Let's not argue. Let's not get mad at each other. Let's work together. Let's use the best ideas of everybody who's here. Now, we'll never know what this argument was all about. It wasn't ever stated. But here's the thing. God loves unity because it brings joy. I see how many of you cheering for your Packers and what joy you have as you're watching your Packers or whatever else it might be, right? And that's a joyful thing. It's a together thing. It's a friend thing. And even though, you know, it's interesting to see that people from all walks of life who don't have the same way of thinking about things, they can join together on their Packers. Well, can't you join together on Christ? Isn't that much more important? Can't you give up all those things, all those foibles of humanity, and be friends with one another so that the body of Christ may grow? Pray. Pray for that one. Pray for it every day, that there would be peace and joy here together in unity, because God wants that unity. He wants these people who are so different, Roman soldiers. Lydia, who was in Philippi, was a sales girl to the rich and famous. And then there was the young woman who was possessed by a demon from all classes of life. They joined together because they had the same great news that brought them to rejoicing. Let's make that our common denominator. Let's make that the thing on which we agree, the thing that gives us less strife, less arguing. And now here's Paul, trying to teach a bunch of rough Roman soldiers how to be gentle. And he does it even to the very end of his life. Rejoice with gentle prayers and yet strong prayers, asking for the impossible to the God who answers. Because that's the very peace that Paul has. How many times must he have prayed for these people, as well as many others? If you know your scriptures, you know that Corinthians was, boy, the two books to them, because boy, oh boy, did they have trouble and strife and arguing among themselves. And it had almost taken the congregation down, and yet God had blessed Paul to bring peace to them, because it all began with God's peace. And that's a peace that Paul truly had, and that's what he was going to live in order to teach us how to rejoice. You see, you have it too. And we did it at the very beginning of our service. What did we do? We repented of our sins, and we knew, even before we repented, that our God would forgive us, because he already has in Christ Jesus. It's an established fact that he paid for the sins of the world. John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we can run to Jesus and say, Lord God, take my sins from me, and he will forgive us. That's what repentance is about. You see, God didn't need you, but he loves you and he wants you. He chose you to be his own. Does that not give you peace? For you to believe in that hope, to believe that the judge of all things will forgive your sin, that he will forgive you who has defied him at times? Boy, that's the peace that can surpass anything in logic and in this earth. And the ungodly will ridicule us. Oh, you got to make up for your sins. You got to do this. You got to do that. And they won't hear it. They want to be good enough for God. But God says, no, none of you are good enough for me. I want you coming in humble repentance and faith. Faith that I forgive you. You see, this is far above reason. This is what it says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This phrase taps into the Old Testament, which again and again talks about God's wisdom and that it's far above our own. You see, his forgiveness is not based on reason or logic. His forgiveness is based on love. His forgiveness is based on that he has made you his children. His forgiveness is based on the fact that he has chosen you to be his own, and on his mercy and on his kindness. And now he says, I want you to reflect that mercy and that love. I want you to reflect that mercy and love in the knowledge that you are forgiven, in the confidence that you have a God who loves you enough to pay for your sins and keep you from hell. And that's what totally confuses much of the world. What? You just gotta confess, they say it. Oh, you know, as Christians, the guilt that comes. You know when you've disappointed your God. And it hurts, and it probably hurts worse because you know how much your God loves you. And yet, God uses this understanding, his understanding, his illogical love to guard our hearts and minds. We maybe cannot see what God does, but he sees with deep clarity and acts on our behalf. He knows his enemy. He knows your enemy's death and the devil. And he knows it starts with tribulations and temptations to sin. And yet he acts on your behalf to guard you. Pray for it. Seek it. See it when it happens beyond your understanding. And that word guard, what an important word for these soldiers. These Roman soldiers would have been in foreign countries surrounded by people from the land. And those Roman soldiers, they set up nice little forts, but they still needed watchmen. Because in the middle of the night, who knows, someone would sneak in, kill off a few. Happened. It did happen. And so the punishment, especially in a battle situation, for a Roman soldier who fell asleep while on guard, was instant death. If the sergeant came around and saw you sleeping on duty, you probably wouldn't wake up. It's the way it was, because that was that serious. And these guys understood what guarding meant. And now they knew that they had a God who never sleeps, a God who truly guards, with protection they can't even understand, because it's against the spiritual powers that are against him and against us. In the spiritual realm, he sends his angels to guard over us and protect us. We have the guarding that we need for our souls and for our life. Let us put our confidence in that God. And having that guard is where our strength really comes. For the sake of these new Christians, Paul had to act out this very faith, that his life and his eternity was guarded by our God. God placed him here and now at that time to make that point, to unburden those soldiers of their guilt and to remind them of the place that they have coming so that they would no longer have to go back to the violent days of their youth. He was there to write these words and encourage these infants in the faith so that it would grow, so that it would come to our families in Northern Europe and come to us here in America. Paul was putting into action exactly what he preached for so long. And how well he knew it. He used the weapons of war when he was younger. If you remember, he went out to kill Christians for a while before he knew Christianity. But now God stripped him of those weapons and gave him a different weapon. The weapon of the gospel that brings peace. The weapon of the gospel that brings comfort. And he was going to be a personal demonstration of that peace that comes with God. A peace that surpasses earthly understanding and is based in our amazing, gracious God who forgives us again and again and again. He wanted them to have that same hope that he had, that brought him great peace, a sure hope in the resurrection from the dead, an eternal life. And so now he was ready to act it out, even if it meant his own death. That is peace, a hope in Christ, who promised that he was the firstborn from the dead, not the last, that there would be many others who would rise to live with God forever. It's a neat blessing. It's one that sometimes you hear from the pulpit. Maybe you heard it quite often from certain pastors, and it's a good one. Maybe I'll even use it tonight. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. God promises to guard your hearts and minds, to strengthen them so that you are ready. Let him do the guarding, but then you, depending on him, let him bless you so that you may be active and strong in your prayer life, that you may work with the Spirit who lives in you. And in the meantime, rejoice. Rejoice with Paul, because you have a repentance that receives God's forgiveness. Rejoice with the Philippians, who can see God acting on their behalf to their prayers. Rejoice this Advent and always in Christ. Amen. Please rise. We now confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We join in the responsive prayer of the church. Eternal Lord, give us peace as we ponder the good news that you forgive our sins in Christ. Lead us to see clearly the path you have laid out for us. Work in us so that we believe and live the word we have heard today. Provide courage and compassion to all who preach and teach your word. Fill them with a love like yours as they proclaim your grace to us and to all people.
Move us to love all ministers of this word,
wherever they serve. Guard and guide the families of our congregation. Lead husbands and wives to love each other with commitment, respect, and patience. Help parents to grasp the eternal value of keeping their children close to Jesus all their lives. Grant joy to those who are single and make them a blessing to others.
Protect us from
the temptations that surround us. Give us pure hearts and minds. Provide wisdom and insight to those who make laws and set policies. Give us respect for those who protect us from crime. Lead us to value the rights of our fellow citizens and to defend those who cannot defend themselves. Bless our land with peace and prosperity so that the gospel may be proclaimed to all.
Protect
Give us passion to share the story of your love with our family and friends. Overcome unbelief and open the hearts of people everywhere to believe the good news that Jesus has forgiven their sins and open the gates of heaven for them. Fill us with joy over every sinner who repents and comes to trust in you. Extend your healing power to those who are sick and suffering in body and mind. We thank you for the successful surgery for Pat Kingery, and we rejoice that tomorrow she will very quickly return home. Bless her as she continues her recovery and watch over her with her friends and neighbors. Continue to be with all those who are suffering illnesses and events in their lives. Give patience and compassion to all who care for the sick and dying. Lift the eyes of the distressed to your love in Christ. Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Gracious God, you govern and direct all things, and you love all people. Hear our prayers, spoken and silent, and answer them in your wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our offering is at the back in the alms box there. We will continue with the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared when he called people to repentance and pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Please rise.
God, you are worthy to receive thanks and praise from all people. You created the world and all who live in it, and in your mercy you saved us. We give thanks to you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Though in very nature God, he took the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and redeemed us from its curse and penalty. He rescued us from the terrors of death and restored eternal life with you. He conquered our enemies and gained for us the kingdom of grace and glory. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood and lead us to remember his suffering, death, and resurrection. Forgive our sins and fill us with a new hope of new life in heaven. Hear our praise and receive our thanks as we worship you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In your name we pray the prayer we continue to learn.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Be seated. We ask that members of Wells and ELS join us at communion, and we ask others to please respect our practice.
Body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take and eat. The body of Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink the blood of Christ, poured out for you for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is Christ's blood, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto life everlasting. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace. Amen. Take and eat the body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, eat. This is Christ's body for you, for the forgiveness of your sins.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
A church that welcomes people and their problems this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sometimes we Christians give the impression that joy comes only in the absence of sorrow, which is one of those good-sounding ideas that is totally false.
Are people with problems welcome in church? Hear how joy and sorrow can occupy the same space without contradiction. In today's message by Dr. Michael Ziegler, coming up next here on The Lutheran Hour.